And there is a lot of politics in the news today, to say the least. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's former senior advisor, Michael McKinley, is the latest administration insider to testify behind closed doors in the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry. And Democrats running for president made Elizabeth Warren their primary target last night in their fourth debate.
On Twitter this morning, President Trump called the Democratic candidates clowns and then said they can't get elected. We want to take a deeper look at the CNN New York Times debate with NPR senior political editor and correspondent Domenico Montanaro. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there, Robin.
And as Tanya said, Warren was the focus. But I want to jump to Joe Biden. He was asked, as expected, about that false narrative repeated by President Trump and others that Biden had a prosecutor fired in Ukraine to protect his son. Not true. But this week, Hunter Biden did say it was a mistake for him to be on a board in Ukraine because of the optics. Here's Joe Biden responding to a question about all of that.
My son did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. I carried out the policy of the United States government in rooting out corruption in Ukraine. And if that's what we should be focusing on.
And he went on to talk about his son's statement speaking for itself and his son's statement speaking for itself again. And as you know, Domenico, Democrats are watching these debates with an eye on a possible future debate with candidate Trump. Do you think Biden's response might have convinced them that he can handle that?
I don't know. I was surprised at how quickly the debate moved on from the Hunter Biden business ties situation. And I understand that this is a conspiracy theory that Trump has peddled on the one hand. On the other hand, there is the ethics question mm-hmm. of whether Hunter Biden mm-hmm. should have even been serving in the first place on a board of a gas company when his father was vice president and handling that country's foreign policy as the point man for the United States. Now, all the other stuff Rudy Giuliani and President Trump talk about is really not true at all, and that's been fact-checked a bunch of times. But it was surprising to me that none of the candidates even wanted to answer or talk about or bring up any of whether or not the conflicts of interest, those ethics, are something that they would endorse. They have to figure out, Democrats have to figure out what kind of bar they want to set for ethics post-Trump.
Mm. Yeah.
Domenico, I want to ask you about Elizabeth Warren. As you heard earlier, I was saying that she was their primary target, the other Democratic candidates. And one big issue that kept coming up again and again is that Warren wouldn't say whether middle class taxes would go up under Medicare for all. And Pete Buttigieg caught her on it. Here he is.
Let me be clear on this. Costs will go up for the wealthy, they will go up for big corporations, and for middle-class families, they will go down. I will not sign a bill into law that does not lower costs for middle-class families.
Mayor Buttigieg, you say Senator Warren has been, quote, evasive about how she's going to pay for Medicare for all. What's your response?
Well, we heard it tonight, a yes or no question that didn't get a yes or no answer.
And lots of the candidates kept hammering her or going back to her on that. Domenico, what do you think? How did this moment resonate?
Well, look, last week was the first time that Elizabeth Warren caught Joe Biden in the average of the national polls. And congratulations, what happens when you wind up, you know, at the top in the polls, you become a front runner and you get a lot of that scrutiny. And for Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, we should remember, they really pinned in Elizabeth Warren on what is her biggest vulnerability, and that is whether she's electable. That's been the number one issue with Democrats in this primary.
But a lot of folks were just saying she also did not answer that question. Your thoughts about
that? Yeah,
she
didn't answer the question, but that's the point, is that she didn't answer the question. And the problem that what Pete Buttigieg in particular was pointing to is that her policies are too liberal to be elected, and she doesn't want to cop to the fact that people would have to probably see their taxes go up, because Bernie Sanders did say that that's what would happen. You know, Amy Klobuchar, on the other hand, was saying she's too dismissive of other people's ideas. And that's interesting thing. And we're going to see how Warren responds to all that.
That's right. And she actually spoke about Warren's wealth tax. Let's listen.
I want to give a reality check here to Elizabeth, because no one on this stage wants to protect billionaires. Not even the billionaire wants to protect billionaires. We just have different approaches. Your idea is not the only idea.
So, Domenico, we're hearing there Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, everybody just kind of puppy piling on. But how do you think Elizabeth Warren held up?
you know, she's going to have to be at the center now. I mean, she did not answer that question about whether people's taxes are going to go up. She also didn't really respond to Pete Buttigieg when he said that you don't have a plan on this. You have a plan on everything else, but has basically been using Bernie Sanders as a heat shield to sort of keep the pressure off of her when it comes to Medicare for All. And there's a reason why Pete Buttigieg kept bringing up Medicare for All Who Want It, as he calls it, which is essentially Medicare for All Who Want It, Medicare for All as a choice instead of as a replacement to private health insurance. When we polled on this in our NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll back in July, when you offer Medicare for All as a choice, 70% of Americans are for it. Mm. When you offer it as a replacement to private health insurance, only 41% of the country is in favor of that.
That's interesting. They have to navigate that. Well, so what else jumped out at you, Domenico?
Well, I mean, there were just so many things in this debate that were, a kind of a new dynamic. I don't think it reshaped the race in any sort of way. You still have a clear top tier. But Pete Buttigieg, I know I mentioned him a couple times already, was able to sort of, we keep asking who could jump out from the bottom tier, from the people who haven't been kind of, polling double digits. He's been creeping up in some state polls and really tried to say that there's a third choice. And he said that there's this false choice between Joe Biden saying that Trump is an aberration, which he disagrees with and says he's a symptom of something broader in the country, or Elizabeth Warren, where he said she wants, quote unquote, permanent partisan combat. So a unity message, but saying he sees something different than Biden does for the future.
I want to listen to Andrew Yang, who some people are giving, solid report cards for his performance last night. Here he is talking about what's killed manufacturing jobs.
Senator Warren, I've been talking to Americans around the country about automation, and they're smart. They see what's happening around them. Their Main Street stores are closing. They see a self-serve kiosk in every McDonald's, every grocery store, every CVS. Driving a truck is the most common job in 29 states, including this one. 3.5 million truck drivers in this country, and my friends in California are piloting self-driving trucks.
And a lot of us were noting he also had a pin that said math, which is all going on social media.
Make America think harder.
Oh, is there what you
that
go.
Stands for.
Well, and also math. I mean, it's nice to have somebody, bragging about math.
I think he wanted to talk about math and just came up with an acronym.
But right, I mean, did some, this is like, he's like maybe below tier, right? Mid tier or something. But who kind of shown that maybe, maybe we'll be being a bigger part of the Democratic Party, if not the candidate.
Look, Andrew Yang has had a loyal social media following. He raised double the amount of money in the third quarter than he'd raised the entire first couple of quarters, $10 million. So he has a lot of people who are behind him in a certain niche. And he certainly brings up an issue that a lot of Democrats in particular talk about, which is automation, how jobs have changed, how jobs will be changing. Unfortunately for Andrew Yang, his idea of a guaranteed universal basic income, which would essentially give Americans $1,000 per month, all American adults, to sort of ward off automation problems. Only 26% of the country is in favor of that, thinks it's a good idea based on our poll. So it's not an issue that goes to a broader public. Americans have this sense of wanting people to work for something. And that is one of those things that a lot of Democrats don't want to get sidetracked when their whole goal is to try to beat President Trump. Mm.
Domenico, one topic that we only heard about once during the debate is Sanders on his recent heart attack. Let's play that.
We're moving on, Senator.
I'm healthy.
Sorry.
I'm feeling great, but I would like to respond to that question.
He also won. He said he's feeling fine. He also won the endorsement of New York Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's really hard to say, but I'm wondering, like, the thoughts of the voters out there on his heart attack and if that will play a role in their thinking of him as a viable candidate in the future.
It brought up the issue of age, and a lot of people have been sort of seeing that as a taboo topic, but it really was thrust forward. They were asked specifically about age last night because the leading candidates in this race, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders are all septuagenarians. They're all 70 or older. And, Bernie Sanders has had strong health from most of his life until this heart attack. He'd never had a record of heart disease or heart problems before. But, you know, that's part of what happens with the aging process. And, you know, Joe Biden probably had the best answer on it and said, I'm running because of my age and experience. And with that brings wisdom.
What, who was it that said, I mean, I'm trying to remember the candidate in the past who said, I won't hold your youth against you or something.
Right.
But, you know, I could see somebody
your youth and inexperience.
Inexperience against you. I could see somebody watching last night and watching Bernie Sanders and thinking, wow, I didn't know you could be that vibrant after a heart attack because
he has gotten a lot of rest. He's been off the campaign trail and he campaigned so vigorously that maybe the rest for a couple of weeks actually did him some good.
Yeah. Domenico, just in the few seconds, half a minute, what else jumped out at you that you'd want to comment on?
You know, we just have to watch in the next few weeks if there's going to be a boost for any of these candidates. Does anything get reshaped or are we still seeing this sort of aircraft carrier of a race continue? Who knows? A lot of things could be shaken up.
Yeah. Domenico Montanaro, NPR senior political editor and correspondent on last night's Democratic presidential debate. Thank you.
You're welcome.